This is a podcast from Minute Media.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for thevikingage.com. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, Chris Shad, who writes for us here at The Viking Age, as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. Before we start today's show, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like this video and subscribe to our channel. If you already are, we thank you very much. And make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And if you can tell, my sinuses are a little groggy right now because I just got done with the battle with the COVID. So that was a good time. Don't recommend it. But I'm good now. I'm getting back so I can talk some Vikings. But during my time off, I guess, I was able to watch a bunch of things, one of them being the ESPN Unrivaled documentary about the old Avalanche and Red Wings rivalry back in the day in the NHL. The doc centered around a dirty hit by the Avalanche's Claude Lemieux on Red Wings' Chris Draper in the 96 playoffs. And Lemieux was described in the film as one of the NHL's most hated players during his time in the league. So, Chris, my first question to you is, who is an NFL player that you loved to hate when you were a kid growing up watching football?
I think Brett Favre has to top the list, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's funny now because of 2009, you know, everybody kind of loves Brett Favre as far as Vikings fans go. I mean, there's some diehards out there, right? But I think with Favre, there was a lot of animosity because he was like the leader of the Packers. You know, he was like Darth Vader, if you're talking about a Star Wars reference. Mm-hmm. You just got such joy out of beating Favre because not only was he good, he was always running around and the announcers were always pumping him up like, you know, Brett Favre is Brett Favre. And when you have Brett Favre, it's Brett Favre. And, you know, that yeah. John Madden impersonation.
But basically what Aaron Rodgers is right now.
Yeah. But I mean, like,
without Rodgers the tattoo,
a bigger villain than Favre. Yeah. I saw a tweet about that, actually, his tattoo. And somebody said, you know, maybe it's designed for somebody to be like, well, what does it mean? I don't know what it means. You know, I am so excited, honestly, for his girlfriend, Blue the Witch or Sky Blue or Midnight Blue or whatever, blue balls. I don't know, whatever her name is, to like send him to the nether realm before a game and not be able to pull him out. Like week one, all of a sudden, where's Aaron? Got a problem, guys. Got a
it goes all problem. Stranger Things on him. Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Love starting. We can't say why. Jordan Love is starting against the Vikings. So there's that.
Yeah, I'm similar. I had like I don't know if I ever really like hated Favre. I just hated the way that how successful he was. Kind of like growing up, like a lot of people were Michael Jordan fans. I didn't like it because all he did was win. And I'm like, this is just boring. Like, I don't want to watch him win ever. So I'd root for like the Sonics and the Jazz and the Spurs and stuff because I'd just be like, I'm over this. So yeah, for me it was Favre. I had Antonio Freeman in there, Dorsey Levins, Leroy Butler. Like,
were they all Packers players?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, what am I gonna do? Hate Joey Harrington from the Lions or like, I don't know, Jay Cutler? Like, I don't know, from the Bears. Like, maybe some guys from the Bears, like their defense, because they were really good back in the day when they made this.
I hated
Peanut Brian Tillman Erlacher. And yes.
Like I hated him because he had that stupid Old Spice commercial too, where it was like, behold the sword of Erlacher, and then Erlacher would just be on the screen like, this is Brian Erlacher, Erlacher, wear the swagger, you wear swagger too, Erlacher, Old Spice. Just like, oh man, somebody take him out, please. Yeah. I can't handle this like, anymore.
Who else was on that team? Same thing with like, I didn't necessarily hate him, but Devin Hester, I was just so sick. I'm like, stop kicking to him. Like, he's going to return it every time.
We hated ourselves more than we hated him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, he was so good, and they just kept kicking to him. You're like, why are you doing this to yourself? This isn't necessary. None of this. Yeah.
They're like, we can stop him. No, you can't. No one can. No one can. Okay. All right. Moving on. First topic of the day. Very Vikings related. Not quite. The Panthers, finally, they traded for Baker Mayfield after months of speculation and rumors and people being like, they're interested, not interested. Who? Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. Seahawks are in it. No, they're not. Okay. So, yeah, the Panthers traded for Baker Mayfield on Wednesday. They acquired him from the Browns, who sent out a thank you Baker tweet, which was very awkward. They got him in exchange for a conditional 2024 fifth-round draft pick, so pretty cheap. And the deal came a few months after a rumor that the Panthers had called the Vikings about Kirk Cousins, just to probably just see how much it would they're looking for in a trade, maybe. But shortly after this rumor spread, it was reported that people within Carolina's organization laughed about their rumored interest in a trade for Cousins. Who's laughing now? So looking back, did the Panthers make a mistake by maybe not pursuing more aggressively a trade for Kirk Cousins when they might have had the chance?
You know, the thing about that report is right after they laughed, they probably cried because they knew how desperate they were. Like, this is a team that courted Deshaun Watson along with mm-hmm. four others. And mm-hmm. he went over there and he's like, nah, I don't mm-hmm. think I'll play here. Matt Rhule is kind of a buffoon. Like, mm-hmm. they probably went through the checklist like every team. Like, okay, why would we get Kirk Cousins? We can get Russell Wilson. No, mm-hmm. that didn't work. Okay, well, we'll get Deshaun Watson. No, that didn't work. Carson Wentz. No,
Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan. No. Shoot. Did you get it? No. We didn't really like the quarterback class. Baker Mayfield. Welcome to the team, Baker. Welcome to the team. Like, it's such a desperate move. And I think people crap on Baker a lot because of what happened last season on and off the field. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I don't think that Browns locker room is stable at all. Like, no, with
definitely not now.
And it's so shocking too, because we always look at Kevin Stefanski as like this alternate universe, right? Where everything was going to be fine. Everything was going to be, you know, calm without Mike Zimmer and everything else. And it is just a dumpster fire over there. I don't even know if Baker is the sole problem. It's ownership. It's the coaching staff in a way. It's a lot of combustible personalities in Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney. A lot of things that are going wrong. So, and his shoulder was hanging on by a thread last year. Yeah. So, I mean, people rightfully jump on Baker because of its attitude, because I think that can rub people the wrong way. But it was so weird that he just didn't get traded at some point. And finally, he found a home in Carolina, which I don't know if it's the best situation for him, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, it's weird. It's definitely not the best situation, but it is in a sense that he gets to play, which he's going to probably start. I think it's hilarious when like a bunch of NFL insiders came out afterwards like, this is going to be a competition. Oh, really? They traded for a quarterback in July because they wanted to have someone who started their entire career because they want to have a competition with Sam Darnold, someone who they benched for Cam Newton, who has been terrible the last 2 years. But yeah, it's going to be Sam Darnold had a good spring in shorts. So it's going to, you know, it's going to be a full on competition. Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's weird with Stefanski, like you mentioned, like he was also part of the Vikings when they were not like the locker room was not that good. Like with Leslie Frazier and the end of the Childress years, Stefanski was in there too. So, and he might, you know, as much as people like his, like maybe polar opposite of Mike Zimmer, he might be a little too lenient where like he lets guys get away with too much. And that's, you know, that's something we'll have to watch with Kevin O'Connell too. Cause a lot of people like how nice he is and how down to earth he is. And like it, that's good for like a certain, you know, degree, but at what point does that, you know, do players begin to take advantage of that and abuse that relationship? But yeah, the whole Baker thing's weird. And like with the Panthers, yeah. Like, what did they look at themselves and be like, "We're a great organization. We've won 5 games in each of the last 2 seasons. This is where everyone wants to come to play." No, it's not even close. Like, why? Yeah. Like, They're not even close to being competitive. Matt, like you said, Matt Rhule is like a buffoon. You see him in like the coach's pictures, and he looks like he's dressed like a fifth grader. And they just had like their practice facility, like they stopped building it midway. Like, it's just a mess over there, and they should be happy that they didn't get Deshaun Watson, because it would have been even worse. Go ahead.
Well, what organization would you rather be right now, the Panthers or the Browns? That's a hell of a question, isn't it?
I'd be the Panthers, just because, you know, as much as there might be an upside with Deshaun Watson, that's just a stupid move, considering, you know, I understand they traded for him, but then to turn around and give him $230 million fully guaranteed money, that he's going to get some of no matter what, like whether he gets suspended or not. That's this whole situation is a mess. You have to deal with that PR for multiple years. It's a bad look for a lot of people. And, you know, if they win a Super Bowl, no one's going to care. But still, like, I don't think they are, because karma is an actual thing. And it's just, and this is the Browns we're talking about. Like, they're not known for making good decisions, especially under this ownership. But I don't think the Panthers are in that much of a bet. Like, the guy who owns the Panthers owns them because the other owner was forced out because of like sexual harassment stuff. So like, it's not like they're in a much like better boat. You know, they're not in Lake Minnetonka, but you know, they're getting there. Does this Panthers quarterback situation, so now they have Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and they drafted Matt Corral, who apparently I saw today is like, he's still the future. Okay, sure. He drafted him in the third round. Like, okay, was he Kellen Mond? Does this QB situation make you appreciate Kirk Cousins anymore?
The Kirk stands are just like,
yeah, I got you now.
Yeah. I mean, this is what the Vikings used to do, wasn't it? Would get a quarterback. They wouldn't go the young quarterback route that the Panthers went, though. Like, the Panthers were like, we can get something out of Sam Darnold. And like, everyone's like, no, you can't. Like, and they just did it anyway. So like, for the Vikings, it's like, okay, we have a stable quarterback who costs a lot, but he's fringe top 10, maybe.
He has a track record. Warren Moon, Jeff George, Randall Cunningham, like Brad Johnson, all these guys.
It brings you back to the debate. Would you rather suck, get a high draft pick, and take a swing at a franchise guy? Or would you rather have a guy like Kirk Cousins, who you know is going to throw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns every year, but your postseason results may vary, you might not make the playoffs, a lot of other factors there. I mean,
yeah, it's sure. tough because
it could be worse.
Because the Rams just won with Matthew Stafford, and he's, you know, he is a veteran quarterback, but then you look on the other side of the field in the Super Bowl, and you got Joe Burrow, who was, you know, drafted number one pick and everything. The Bengals suck, and now they're better.
I'd rather have Joe Burrow than Matthew Stafford. I'll say that right now. Matthew Stafford's elbow is like going to explode or something.
If you're gonna go the veteran route, it's either you have to get someone who's very good, and Matt, like tier one or tier two. And now, I'd say Stafford's probably like that tier two because he won the Super Bowl.
And you have to be ready to win right away. When the Vikings first got Cousins, they were ready to win. It was coming off 2017. They went to the NFC Championship game. They had a lot of cheap contracts, and paying Kirk Cousins didn't really hurt. Where the Vikings screwed up is the 2-year extension coming off of the Kyle Rudolph push off in New Orleans, and then extending him after this year. And I don't know if this year will be a mistake. We're going to find out with Kevin O'Connell, but it's just they believe their own newspaper clippings that this is a dominant team. This is the same team from 2017, not taking into account that everybody is making more money and everybody is 5 years older.
Yeah, they're just right now. You could say that they're treading water and hoping that, you know, they catch a break and catch a nice wave to bring them in the right direction. I guess to keep the water metaphors going. Specifically on Mayfield, do you think he'll succeed in Carolina? Like, he's been doubted before, like in his career, and he's been able to like take that doubt and turn it into success. You look at Oklahoma and even with the Browns, like you go to the Browns, it's thought of as like a QB wasteland, and he was able to help them get to the playoffs.
Sporting cast.
It's not okay, terrible.
Yeah, it could be worse.
I would argue that DJ Moore is probably
an average receiver. Robbie, I mean, remember the game against Vikings-Panthers games. The Panthers wide receivers dropped everything. And then you have Matt Rhule, who hired Bob McAdoo as his offensive coordinator. It's not an ideal situation at all. I would rather have Kevin Stefanski and whatever Cleveland's throwing out. Yeah. Baker to Amari Cooper would have been just fine, wouldn't it? But Cleveland was just hell-bent to get rid of the guy and get the other guy, the adult.
He's the adult in the room. I don't know. I look at their division, like I look at where they got the Falcons, Saints, and Bucks. People are still high on the Bucks. I think the Saints are not going to be good this year. Like a lot of people are still like picking them to kind of be in the hunt. I don't think so. I think Sean Payton makes a big difference for that team. And then the Falcons, they're going to win with I don't even know if they want to win right now, like with Mariota and Desmond Ridder as their quarterback. And did they re-sign Patterson? I think they did. I think they re-signed Cordell Patterson. So yeah, that's who did they draft? Who's the receiver that they drafted?
Drake London.
Yeah. That's right. So like they got some pieces, but they're nowhere close to being like a playoff team. So like, and then I don't know about the Panthers either. Like they got some playmakers on defense and stuff. You know, Jeremy Chinn and who's the corner, Horn, the young kid, Joe Horn's kid. So they have some playmakers. I don't know if the offense is, it might be similar to how the Browns were, or like it's the defense that kind of carries that team. But like you said, like Matt Rhule, you got Matt Rhule and Ben McAdoo leading the charge there. That's not a really good duo to lead you into success. So I expect if I was Mayfield, I would just play YOLO ball all year. Just do whatever. Who cares? Put up stats, have monster games. You're probably going to be somewhere else next year anyways. Your coach is probably going to be somewhere else next year anyways. So who cares? Just play free. Do what Case Keenum did in 2017, where you know he's not under contract the next year. He can do whatever he wants. What are they going to do? Like bench him? He's already a backup quarterback. So, just go all out and do whatever. Because when Baker is playing well, he's really good. But he's just last year he got hurt and he tried to play through it, and that was a bad idea. Looking at the other quarterback in his room, Sam Darnold, I saw somebody float this out there today. I think it was Paul Charchian from KFan, who has some interesting ideas. He suggested that the Vikings go try and trade for Sam Darnold now that Baker Mayfield is on the Panthers. Just noting that Sam Darnold would be a better option than Sean Mannion, which I don't think is a very good argument, since pretty much anybody with working eyes in the NFL is better than Sean Mannion. So in your just your thoughts, do you think the Vikings should try and acquire Sam Darnold to be their backup instead of Sean Mannion or Kellen Mond?
No. No. I mean, okay, what's the difference between starting Sam Darnold and Sean Mannion? You're not winning with either of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're screwed either way if Kirk gets hurt. So why would you add a contract that costs more? And why would you give up draft capital to go get him? Now, if the Panthers release Sam Darnold, which is unlikely because I think they owe him $14 million no matter what, if I'm not mistaken.
Almost 20.
Yeah, almost 20. So, I mean, that's not happening. But if he gets released and he's a free agent, you could sign him to like a contract. And if he flops around like a fish during preseason, you just go, okay, that was fun. But, I mean, giving up assets and everything. I mean, the Vikings don't even have $20 million in cap room.
No.
Like, why would you do more financial gymnastics and kick the can down the road for that? So
I think that's what a lot of people like replied to Charchian Street. They're like, they can't even afford him. So like, it's not even worth talking about.
All
like,
due respect to Paul Charchian, he's the godfather of fantasy football. He's got the guillotine league. I'm excited to play my guillotine league this year. But sometimes you just spitball things like you don't look at it, you're just like, hey, let's trade for Sam Darnold. Oh, we can't do that. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know specifically what he tweeted, but he might have been just like, you know, let's try and acquire him. Maybe he meant like if he does get released, then the Vikings should sign him or whatever. Maybe he did mean it that way. But yeah, the simple answer is no, because Darnold only has 1 year left on his deal, which is a fully guaranteed $18.9 million. And like you said, the Vikings only have $10.9 million in cap space right now. So like and there's zero reason to spend any of that on a backup quarterback who, you know, is probably going to be gone after next year anyways. And plus, yeah, like you said, Darnold isn't that good. Like, completed under 60% of his passes last year, threw for like 2,500 yards, 9 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That's like, is he better than Sean Mannion? Sure, but like, is the margin that large between those two? I don't know. Like, at least Sean Mannion like kind of knows the offense or like can hand the ball. This is such a July storyline or topic. Sean Mannion versus Sam Darnold. Who you got?
Sean Mannion's like the Roman Reigns of the Vikings backup quarterback. He's just going to hold on to it forever and never defend his title with like relevant.
At least Roman Reigns is entertaining. Sean Mannion is just.
Yeah. I could watch Roman Reigns talk crap.
I feel like
all night long. But yes,
I feel like maybe you could say Sean Mannion is more of like a I'm trying to think who's kind of boring as a champion, like Drew McIntyre or Sheamus or something like as a champion. Like they were kind of boring to relate this to wrestling as we always do. But here's one last question on this. So let's say Cousins gets hurt before the start of the season, you know, a la Teddy Bridgewater, hopefully, you know, not that serious. I'm not wishing that on anybody. Do you call the Panthers and we're like, hey, do you want to work out something with Darnold? We'll take him off your hands. But, you know, we're not going to pay all that money, but we'll take him off your hands. Do you do that?
No, you tank.
Okay.
You tank. Okay. So, I mean, the Vikings were in a different position in 2016.
Yep.
Because they had a good team around Sam Bradford and one that could compete.
Yeah, they started 5-0.
They believe they can compete right now, but like the Panthers are going to have your feet to the flames in that situation. They're going to try and make you pay up. Like, you want Sam Darnold? Give us a first round pick. Now, I don't think they'll do that. I think it would be like a second or something. But I mean, they're not going to like you're not going to see a deal like this where Baker Mayfield goes to the Panthers for a fifth.
Yeah.
I mean, half the thing was the Panthers knew they were getting rid of Baker Mayfield.
Right.
So
for the Browns,
they're just like, the Panthers knew that the Browns were going getting rid of me.
Right. Right.
So it was not a secret.
Yeah. I'd rather just let Kellen Mond go out there and see what he can do. Just give him a season of reps. Cause like, at least with Mond, you don't really know his ceiling yet. And he still kind of has a potential, where Darnold, it feels like his best bet probably right now is a backup. And maybe that's not entirely his fault because he went with the Jets and the Panthers, but you know, that's sometimes how it goes. Like Josh Rosen probably could have been better if he didn't land with the Cardinals or the Dolphins, but sometimes it's just how things go. So yeah, don't give them a call. Well, weren't the Panthers the team that the Vikings called by Justin Fields too?
Yeah. And they lowballed him.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's something. There's something going on between these two teams where they keep going back and forth. But moving on to some more Vikings related topics. So ESPN recently posted an article where they listed the most underrated player on each NFL team. And for the Vikings, they select defensive tackle Harrison Phillips. They cited Phillips' skills as a run defender as the biggest reason why he's the most underrated player they feel on the team, which I thought was kind of weird because he hasn't played a down yet for the Vikings. So I figured they might pick someone that has been there, but they haven't. D, Do you agree with that, or do you think, you know, someone else is the most underrated player on this year's Vikings team?
You told me to pick someone, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, the Vikings have a lot of overrated players.
Oh,
like,
cool.
I would argue, you know, like Patrick Peterson's a little bit older. Yep. Eric Kendricks has coming off of one of the worst seasons of mm-hmm. his career. Some people believe Harrison Smith has lost a step. You know, all of these veterans that the front office holds high and mighty,
Irv Smith,
might be the other way around. I this is not a team that has stockpiled young ascending talent over the past couple of years. So that makes this a very hard question to answer. Like, are we going to come out and say DJ Wonnum? Well, no, because five of his sacks came against the Bears, who refused to block him. You know why? They weren't afraid of him.
Right.
So, like, yeah. It's hard to do. I mean, maybe you say KJ Osborne. I would go KJ Osborne. Yeah. I mean, you don't realize it, but he had the most yards for number three receiver in franchise history. He gets the Jarius Wright Award, right? Yeah. So, what if we had a receiver like Jarius Wright? No, KJ Osborne is better. So I guess if you're kind of thinking through it, that would be my choice, because I think a lot of people pay attention to Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, but not so much to Osborne.
Yeah, and he kind of came out of nowhere last year. A lot of people picked him to not even make the team. Mm-hmm. And he made the team and took advantage of his opportunities. And he should, in this offense, which is more three receiver sets, he should be able to get a lot more opportunities than he even did last year. I picked Dalvin Tomlinson just because I think a lot of people kind of complained about Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson last year. And like, oh, they didn't even do anything. But Dalvin Tomlinson was like, he was pretty good. He was one of the bright spots on the Vikings defense last season. And he was like the 16th best graded defensive lineman by PFF. He's a good run defender like Phillips, but he's a much better pass rusher. And I think the combination of him and Phillips will be much better than it was with him and Pierce and the rest of the defensive line. I think some others you could think of, maybe BC Johnson, just because, you know, he suffered that knee injury and he was the number two receiver in 2020 to open the year, and he's okay. He could come up and maybe spark.
He never should have been.
Right.
Let's remember that.
Ezra Cleveland.
Justin Jefferson's got to earn it. He's got to earn that starting spot. We're not going to give Justin Jefferson now.
Cameron Bynum, Kane Wongu. Like, a lot of these guys are just like unknowns because they haven't been with the team long, and two, you know, we don't know how they're going to fit in this new scheme. So it's a tough question. I understand you just being like, I got no idea, man. it's tough. So let's move on to the last topic, which is more about the strengths and weaknesses of the Vikings heading into training camp, which has to do with a recent article from PFF Sam Monson, who listed the biggest strengths and weaknesses for each NFC team. And for the Vikings, for their biggest strength, he picked the wide receivers, and for their biggest weakness, he picked the interior offensive line. Do you agree with these? And if you don't, you know, what would you put in there instead?
The strengths, I mean, as far as the receivers go, sure, I could see that. We just listed off three good ones, and then they have a couple of nice depth ones. Like Amir Smith-Marset is a very good depth receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, you get BC Johnson back. I mean, you're higher on him than I am, but that's still a quality player that some other teams don't have.
Fifth receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. As a fifth, I mean, it's better than Chad Beebe. So, I mean,
correct.
That's a lot better. Offensive line, the interior. Yeah. I'd probably agree with that. I would maybe, and this is a bit of a stretch, but I think it's accurate. I think the secondary is a weakness.
Yeah,
because like I said, I don't think Patrick Peterson was saying, well, you know, they didn't throw it towards me, so I must have been doing my job. They didn't throw it towards him because Bashad Breeland, Mackenzie Alexander were on the field. It's easier to pick on them than a future Hall of Fame corner. Yeah. So I think this year, Patrick Peterson is going to kind of have a wake up call, so to speak. That's kind of putting it aggressively. But I just think that we're going to be kind of disappointed with him. And then what do you have behind that? You have Cameron Dantzler, who was benched by Zimmer. Probably maybe unrightfully towards mm-hmm. as the season progressed. Maybe he should have been
first
out
game,
there.
I think, right? First game.
Yep. Yeah, he wasn't even active the first game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they just kept playing Breland, and then finally they put Dantzler in, and he had some good moments, but he also had some boneheaded moments where he's playing 5 yards deep in the end zone on a final play in Detroit that cost them the game.
Yeah.
So, and then you go to the unknowns. Like Andrew Booth said, he hasn't been healthy since high school. That's a problem. Your other guy, Caleb Evans, don't know about him.
Good guy on Twitter. Good guy on Twitter.
Is he a good follow?
He's good. Good. He's hating on the Packers, and I think he said he'll dye his hair purple or something if he gets a certain amount of followers. So he's ready.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned my Dontarius Thomas Award player, Chris Boyd.
I don't put it on
when he gets cut. Do you think he'll put it on the gram? Like, yo, I got cut, bro. What's up?
He'll have some post where like it's there for an hour, which shouldn't probably be up, and he'll delete it.
He'll be like,
I got hacked.
Like he's like, they'll pay for this. I'm the best corner of the game. Whoops.
Yeah. I would agree with these. I might even put like you could maybe argue running backs could be the strongest. Cause just because of Dalvin Cook and you know Alexander Mattison, he's not Dalvin Cook, but he's still pretty solid. Then you have Kenny Wongu, who's a really good kick returner. I'm not sure how that relates to running backs, but then, you know, and we don't know about Ty Chandler. So I think it's one of the more deeper groups, maybe not the most strong, but what would you say the second biggest strengths and weaknesses would be on the Vikings?
I want to say pass rush, but that's so fickle. It's very... Let's go the running game. Why not the running game?
Yeah.
You know, you got Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison. We don't know what Kane Wongwu is outside of a returner. I think Kevin O'Connell is going to be a little more creative than Mike Zimmer and Gary Kubiak.
A little bit.
And then you also have Ty Chandler, who's a burner. So I think they have a very good staple of running backs. Did the offensive line create holes? We don't know. But, yeah, running back. I would put that ahead of edge rusher because edge rushers – like a fragile situation. Like if Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith goes down, they're screwed unless Patrick Jones or DJ Wanham steps up. So yeah,
that's what I had. Yeah. I had the edge rushers as maybe the second biggest. But yeah, now that you mention it, yeah, if one of them goes down, it becomes one of their weakest groups, which is the case for a lot of these. And then for the second biggest weakness, I had the tight end group because it's similar where like Irv Smith goes down. What do you got?
Johnny freaking Munt. Okay.
Yeah.
Say his name. Johnny freaking Munt.
So like it can get pretty dicey there if Irv Smith goes down and you know you might have to send a fourth round pick for Chris Herndon again, even though he's a free agent. Would you agree with that? Would that be your second biggest weakness, tight ends? Or
something else? I was definitely thinking about tight end, yeah.
Yeah.
That was going to be it.
It's tough too because like with the scheme, we don't know.
Look at Irv Smith Jr. Like everybody's kind of handing him as like one of the game's best tight ends. He hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything
but get hurt.
He's great on social media.
Some people find that as negative, but I mean it's the truth. Like what has Irv Smith done outside of a whole bunch of training camp practices? If he goes in training camp, balls out, and gets hurt in week one again, guess what? He's a bust. He's a bust at this point because we're in what, year four? His contract's up after this year. So, I mean, it's a bad pick, especially when AJ Brown was the next pick.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get crazy, you could call him a bust right now.
You could.
His best season, I mean, his last season was he had 30 catches for 365 yards and 5 touchdowns. Like, I understand. Kyle Rudolph was still there in 2020. This was 2020. Mm-hmm. But still, like, you're supposed to be, like, he's going to tight end you and everything. And, like, supposed to be, like, and I know everyone was getting crazy in training camp last year, but there's been a lot of those in, like, Vikings land where, like, I think Treadwell at one point looked really good in training camp. You know, Dantzler had a really good training camp. Like, training camp means.
Jordan Taylor, is that his name?
Yeah. Like, it means. Doesn't mean anything to me once you get on the field because you're not like, especially nowadays with training camp and practice and how like loose it is and how much lighter and how much like they just emphasize very little contact. And I think it's going to be even more this way with Kevin O'Connell and his staff. It's going to be even more difficult to tell like who's going to be the best guys coming out of training camp, especially in the preseason too. They're not going to play anybody in the preseason. They're not going to risk Justin Jefferson or Kirk Cousins for a couple more reps, you know, in the preseason. So you got anything else?
That is it for me. I am in full hockey mode right now.
Oh, yeah.
The NHL draft is going on, and our owner, Joe Nelson, is on vacation at Bring Me the News. So I am the sports department right now. I actually, if you've seen me looking down, I have been paying attention to the draft as we've been recording. So
I would.
Go into the Kraken. He was supposed to be the number one overall pick.
If you haven't watched that Unrivaled documentary, I would recommend it.
It's really awesome. I'll throw out a couple of thoughts. So I'm like an hour into it because I watch it while I'm working out. Yeah. So I'll just watch it for 30 minutes while I'm on the elliptical or something. But that rivalry when I was a kid was so damn good. Like I remember seeing the goalie fight and like growing up, the Wild didn't exist. So like other teams were kind of like how I followed hockey. I didn't follow it closely. Yeah. And like the goalies could fight. This is awesome. Like, why are they? They're just beating the tar out of each other. Yeah. Holy crap. Yeah. You know, and like,
I didn't remember that either.
I didn't know how it escalated. And it's so interesting, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a wrestling documentary. When you watch the 24 documentaries on, I guess it's Peacock now, like, kind of their origin stories and how it built up, how they became wrestlers and came up with their character and everything. That's what these are. Like, how, like, the buildup, like the Nordiques moving to Colorado then starting to butt heads with Detroit, who was in the Western Conference for some reason. But, Original Six, baby.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Really well put together. Like, I pay attention a lot because I listen to a bunch of or I watch a bunch of stuff with headphones out. So I pay attention a lot to like sound design and stuff. Which, if you haven't seen the new Stranger Things, the sound design in that is ridiculous. I don't know if you're into that. But like the sound in this too, like with the dramatic music and everything, it just adds so much more to it. And yeah, like you said, the Draper hit. And then when I saw it too, I was like, it wasn't that bad. And then like you see his face and okay, it was pretty bad.
Foot hit didn't look too bad too until you saw it a second time. You're like, oh yeah, he like shoves his head into the turtle
towards the animal steel.
And also he's got like a knot there. And
he wound up and grabbed his head and like shoved it in the vest. Yeah,
that was a steel cage match.
That was a dirty hit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Enough hockey talk. Next week we should do on Monday. We should get back to our rewatchables, right? We'll finally do the Blair Walsh game. You want to do that?
Yeah.
All right.
I was at that game. Fun time.
I'm sure. All right. COVID. All right. Make sure if you're watching this on YouTube to like this video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Follow on Twitter and Facebook. But until next time, Chris and I talk to you later.